The only thing that's still coming to me, we have got, how did the Lord say it through Bronk? He said, stop defaulting to your strengths. And boy, that, I don't know if that hit you the way it's hit me, but I know where my strengths are for Gary. My strengths are meditating the Word of God, reading the Word. I just love that. I cut my teeth through Dave Roberson on praying in other tongues in the trucks. I mean, that's just easy for me, you know. Fasting, not so much. Worship, not so much, you know. And so I've been focusing on those two because that's what the Holy Spirit said. And I catch myself still defaulting to my strength all the time. And it reminds me of the early days in the trucks when I was trying to condition myself to pray during all the time driving. And I would start off with good intentions. Lord, I know I'm in the cab of this truck. I'm going to be in here for eight hours, you know. And I'm just going to be praying and good intentions. And I'm praying. And then after a little while, I just notice I'm not praying anymore. My mind has gone off solving a problem somewhere and thinking about something. Well, what do you do? All you can do is just, oops, sorry, Lord, and go right back to it. And after a while, though, you do condition yourself to this day still. Normally, whatever vehicle I get in, if I'm touching the steering wheel, I just start praying. It's just like automatic. And I just love the Word. I just always have. That's just easy for me. Let's talk about fasting tonight. I want to give you some practical things because I'm an engineer, you know, by training. I like experiments, and then I like changing one variable and see how that changes the situation. Then you put that back and you change another variable. That's how you do experiments, you know. Well, I've done enough fasting now to know that it is true that after about the fourth day, somewhere around the fourth day, your body goes into natural ketosis. And when that happens, the hunger just goes away. And so you can fast many days after that. Now, the mind still wants to eat. I would catch myself, don't you know it's breakfast time? The mind, have y'all found that out? You know, but it's not really hunger. If you check where the hunger is, it's not really hunger. So I have found out that on a longer fast, if you can, it's just a matter really of making it past those first 3 or 4 days. Your body will kick into ketosis, and when that happens, now it's eating the sugar and the carbohydrates that's in your body, and it's not really hungry. That's why you don't feel hungry. I like engineering things. I've found out why. So that's why. Now, so I've been on several of those long enough to know that you can coast pretty good once you hit that ketosis thing. Now, in this season, I was doing some of that, fixing to do another one. And the Lord started talking to me about living a fasted life. And you remember what Kenneth Hagin would say. He would say, he says, the real goal is to live a fasted life. Never get that just full. What do we call it? A carb coma? Anyway. So the Lord gave me some instructions about how to do the fasting during this season. So I'm going to report. I'm giving a report tonight. I'm probably talking to people that have, I know some of them in here have more experience, way more experience fasting than I have. But for those of you that do not, this is Gary, the engineer preacher. I'm going to give you some information that I found out. Because the kind he's having me do now, you don't ever go into ketosis. And so you'll do a 24-hour fast, okay? Like maybe you finished eating at 7 o'clock at night and you don't eat again till 7 o'clock the next night. That's some days I've been doing that. Some days it's one of those and a half. In other words, you ate at 7, then you don't eat again the next day at all, and then you don't eat again the next day until noon. Okay? Some days he'll have me eat between noon and 7. And then no eating after 7, you know. Well, it's all fasting. And I'm telling you, the body doesn't like any one of those. There's not one of those plans that my body likes. And doing it this way, you know, 1 or 2 days on, 1 or 2 days off, partial days on, the hunger never goes away, because I'm not allowed also to eat until I get that, you know, that full feeling. Well, what I'm finding out is when you go a week or two constantly hungry. See, I remember Dave all those years ago when he was talking about, I think it was in worship, he would talk about, we should, if we've got a can of Beanie Weenies, you remember the can of Beanie Weenies? He said, you should get down on your knees and just worship God that you've got a can of Beanie Weenies. He was just trying to make a point, you know, if you've got something, may not be the thing you really love, but you've got something to eat. The other day, I've been going through this for a while, just, and you're hungry all the time, and you walk by people that are eating. You're hungry, and it, my body doesn't like it. It's called shut up, body, you know. The other day, you also count down that the time. 6:58, 6:59, 7 o'clock, and you get to eat something. And we had a little, just a little medium-sized potato. And Sue's got this potato bag thing that you bake them in the microwave. And I put it in that microwave. Boy, it come out. It's hot. Steam coming off of it. And I sliced that thing open. Put a little salt, but just smelling it. And I actually teared up. Thanksgiving came up. I mean, I actually teared up. Thankfulness. I said, God, thank you for this potato. And I remembered the Beanie Weenies. And I said, it's true. But it gives you a gratitude. Who would have thought I'd tear up in thankfulness over a little baked potato, a little russet potato, you know? And, oh, my Lord, he's changing us. All of this is working. And so I see the benefit of not defaulting to our strength, the things where you've already strong in. You need to give attention, Gary, and I think others, to the areas that you're not strong in. And then listen, because he'll give you plans how to do it for you. Okay. Now, see, recently, and I don't have a copy of it in front of me. I should. Yes, sir. The way it says it in Romans 12:2, that you be no longer conformed to this world, but that you be transformed. And here's that word, metamorphosis, by the renewing of your mind. And so in a prophecy that came through me within the last week or two, he worded it like this. He says, you're going to start having an understanding from heaven's perspective about the earth instead of earth's perspective about heaven. In other words, our very soul, the part of us that thinks, the part of us that reasons, what we normally would refer to as the natural mind. See, because you already have a spiritual mind. You really do. You have a spiritual mind like Dave would teach us eloquently. But see, our natural mind so often is in rebellion to that. I'm firmly convinced we're all hearing God a lot more often than we'd like to think. I'm also thinking our natural mind shuts that off immediately before it hardly registers, because we're so accustomed to thinking with our natural mind. But see, if that verse is true, and I know it is, when he says, be you transformed, be you metamorphosed, by the renewing of your mind, it's going from caterpillar thinking to butterfly thinking. See, caterpillar thinking, I'm on this leaf and I see a plant way over there across the yard and I want to eat that plant. I want to be over there. Caterpillar thinking can only do one thing. You got to crawl down the plant. You got to crawl all the way across the yard. You got to get to the other plant. Got to crawl up the stem. That's caterpillar thinking. But that same creature, once it goes through the metamorphosis, that same entity, it's really not the same creature anymore, but that same entity when it has butterfly thinking. It wouldn't think of doing it that way, would it? Well, I'll just fly over there. Jesus, I'll just walk on the water. You know? I'll just command the fever and it'll go. I'll cast out the devil and it'll leave. I'll command this limb, stretch forth thy hand, and the hand will be made whole. That's the kind of metamorphosis that's going to become natural for us. That's what he said. He said that kind of thinking, it's exactly like the caterpillar going through a complete change. And again, when I researched years ago how that really happens, the caterpillar has to dissolve. There's really nothing left of the caterpillar. It liquefies. Doesn't that sound glorious? I'm going to go through this metamorphosis. Hallelujah. Well, you got to liquefy. What? It's a complete change. And it's not sin to, see, this is, and this, Alan's teaching the same thing just in a completely different way. But it won't do to send the caterpillar to flying school. You can't do it. It won't accomplish that. It has to go through the metamorphosis. And I'm convinced that's exactly what's going on with us during this season where he's saying, spend that time with me. And again, if that's not like a cocoon, get it, shut out the world, shut out everything that you can as much as you can, get alone with him. Isn't that's kind of the image to me of the cocoon. But in that period of time, he's literally not, I lose words right here, but okay. Basically, through seminaries, we have sent caterpillars to educate them. So they come out educated caterpillars, but they're still caterpillars. But see, the Holy Spirit has a different kind of school. You go to the Holy Spirit school, and you don't stay a caterpillar. You change. You become something new. Now, in our spirit, this has already happened. You know what we are? We're butterfly spirits with caterpillar brains. Now that's really, see, because in our spirit, that metamorphosis happened instantly. You're not the same old creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But you notice your hands didn't change. My feet didn't change. That we're waiting for the glorification of our body. That's not going to happen till the sound of the trump, but we're going to get a new body. But our spirit's already a butterfly, and it's going, what's wrong with you, Gary? Why don't you empty the wheelchairs? Because my spirit is a butterfly. But my brain is not, my thinking is still caterpillar, bound to this earth, bound to the natural ways of doing things. So, and it's not a matter of sending the caterpillar brain to school. That's not going to cause the caterpillar brain to change. No, it's exactly like what he says there. See, so right now, this is deep. Y'all ready? You come Sunday night for something deep? Romans chapter 12 comes after Romans chapter 8. I didn't do it quite like Dave with the theatrics, you know. Oh, it was deep. See, and chapters 9, 10, and 11, is you could almost put a parenthesis around those three chapters because he kind of digresses a little bit and talks about Israel. But he picks up, really, Romans 12 really picks up at the end of Romans 8. What's Romans 8? The Spirit also helps with our infirmities, with groanings that can't be uttered. Why can't they be uttered? They're beyond us. That's thoughts that a caterpillar doesn't have. It's beyond our natural thinking. We don't even know what's wrong with us. We don't even know our calling in the beginning. We don't know anything. So thank God he gave us the Holy Spirit who will make intercession for us according to the perfect plan of God. He knows exactly the plan. That is the only school, I am convinced, that is the only school that is going to renew our thinking to where that metamorphosis can really happen, where we don't even think like a caterpillar. But as I keep reviewing all of the blueprint prophecies and the subsequent ones, I just go through them pretty regular again, so I don't drop, hopefully not drop too many of them. But he, more than once, he said, when the miracles and the healings begin happening all the time, he said, it's going to be like breathing air. It'll be like the most natural thing. Well, isn't that the way it is for a butterfly? Does a butterfly go, I think I can fly. I think I can fly. I want to spend 2 hours in confession. I can fly, I can fly, I can fly, I can fly. Now, I'm not coming against confession. That's part of renewing our mind, okay? But we, bless God, to get into this revival, have got to one day get beyond confession and get into action. I mean, I don't mean caterpillar action. I don't mean, be bold, you little caterpillar. No, you're still a caterpillar. Boldness will not work as long as you're still a caterpillar. As long as your mind still thinks like a caterpillar, boldness will not help you. Boy, I'm preaching real good tonight. I am preaching good. But once your mind is renewed and you really know who you are, and I mean your natural mind is caught up somewhat. I keep seeing the picture of Jesus walking on the water. And I don't think it was a great strain for him to do it, because he wasn't thinking with a caterpillar brain. I hope this is making sense to you. Well, the boat is left, Father. You want me to go to the other side? Father, the boat's left. What do I do? Well, just walk on the water. Oh, okay. And to him, it's no strain. He's walking across the water. What did the disciples think when they saw him? It's a ghost. It's a spirit. Because they're still got a natural mind, see? How about the time when he rebuked the winds and the waves? And all of them say, who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him, see? He's thinking with a metamorphosized mind. He's thinking with the mind of a son of God. They're thinking with the mind of man. So I believe what's happening here, this transformation that he's taking us to, this purging, and it's going to be different with different people. I don't know what your strengths are. I don't know what your weaknesses are, really. But I will tell you this much. A lot of those rooms that he's flinging the doors open, in this church, and in probably if you're watching this, a lot of those rooms got to do with unforgiveness still, and old hurts, and things you just haven't let go of. And I'm telling you, that's got to go. And it's got to completely go. And the only way I know how to do that is pray for him. If you have to start out the same way that I did. Father, I'm just asking you to bless them, and you know I don't mean it. Start there. Just obey Christ. What did he say? Love your enemies. Pray for them. Do good to them. Well, just start with obedience. That's what he had me do. Every time I think of them, I just, Father, bless them. And he really worked it out. The people involved, we all remember every event. He didn't take away the memory of it, but there is absolutely no hurt. It's like a movie we saw. That was somebody else. We know it was us, but it was somebody else. He's able to remove all of the hurt. There's no hurt, and there's no unforgiveness. So I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. As he's going through this purging process, and I can see that we're coming to the end of it, well, if he opens up any rooms and there's still some unforgiveness of any kind. Yes, sir. Now, I want to say this because I think it's needful. I hope it's not just Gary. Forgiving somebody is not the same as trusting somebody. I can forgive somebody for being a pedophile. I really can. But that doesn't mean I'm going to trust them to babysit my grandkids. You understand that? See, forgiveness is free. The truth of it is you have no right not to forgive somebody. And that's Matthew 18. The whole chapter, Matthew 18 is all one thought. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? And you read the whole thing, over and over again, you'll finally get it. The greatest in the kingdom is the person that can forgive from the heart every person their trespasses against them. That's the greatest in the kingdom. All right? But that does not mean that you... See, forgiveness is free. You remember that near the end of that, he gives that parable of that guy that owed the king more than he could ever repay? He acted like he could. He said, just give me time and I'll pay everything. No, that number there is so staggering, there's no way that a slave could ever pay that. So the king just had mercy and just forgave it. But that same guy, now that's us, that same guy, somebody owed him a pittance. It was like $20 or something, like nothing. And he wouldn't forgive. See, Jesus told us plainly in Mark 11, we all like Mark 11, have faith in God. I speak to the mountain and the mountain obeys. Well, I believe when I pray, I believe God answers and I believe I receive when I pray right now. And then the next two verses. And when you stand praying, forgive. And if you don't forgive, I'm going to say it again. The most miserable people I have met in 40 years are Christians who will not or cannot, they think they cannot, forgive. And it's exactly Matthew 18. They wind up being tormented. And there's really not much God can do to help them until they let it go. It doesn't mean that what they did was right. It doesn't mean that you trust them with your checkbook or you're babysitting your kids or whatever. But unforgiveness is not an option. The only reason any of us are in the kingdom of God is that Jesus paid the price for our sin. And we have no right not to forgive somebody else. That's why it's so serious. You have no right not to do it. So, yes, sir. I got to say it. Until he lets me go off of this, I'm going to have to keep talking. So, I'm thinking of people right now that I've really had to work at. Beyond that early couple, there's been other things. And it's not that I hate them or anything like that. It would be awkward in a room right now if we were all together in a room together, even though I do have affection for them. But we have a hard time walking together. That's the issue. We have a hard time walking together because we so disagree on things. It's not a matter, though, of unforgiveness. I have searched my heart. Now, there was a time when it was. I still had some bitterness. Unforgiveness. And unforgiveness, by the way, becomes bitterness. Bitterness becomes rottenness of the bones. It'll kill you. Okay. So I have gone through that with these people, and there's more than one. Don't be thinking you know who it is, because it's more than one couple. But I stayed at it. I have stayed at it already. I've done this. There is absolutely, I know before God is my witness, there is no unforgiveness in me. That does not mean I can work with them right now. Do you understand the difference? Do you understand? Let's take it all the way back to my Baptist roots. Now it's not any of them, but this just helps illustrate. How am I going to work together in a meeting if I'm saying, God wants you filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues, and one of my Baptist pastors I grew up with is standing right here going, tongues is of the devil. We're going to have a hard time working together. That's what I'm trying to illustrate, okay? And so I don't have anything against him. I don't have any unforgiveness towards him at all. He'll just have to wait to heaven to find out I'm right. but all I'm saying, it would be awkward. It's hard to work together with somebody. You can't walk together, you see. Okay, but in this season, what you do have to make sure of, that there's not any unforgiveness still. Make sure of that. Dave is one of my, of all the people I've known in my life. You know how Dave is. He just loves you. All these thousands, I think literally thousands over the years of people that would come. We've been looking for this church. We're going to be with you till Jesus comes. And Dave would say, in the early days, his hand would shoot out in agreement to shake their hand. Boy, I'm glad you came. Yes, hallelujah. He said, And they would for a while. But it seems like it wouldn't be very long. They'd be leaving mad. And he said, the way Dave would say it, they'd be examining my back to find a place where there wasn't already a knife. But yet Dave never did put up walls to keep people from getting close to him. And that to me is a real example. That's a real example. And I remember this message one time. He said, you know, Dave would have a hard time with your name. And he said, I think it was six, I might be exaggerating. It was several years before he knew our name. I know that for sure. And, but he says, when people are introducing me, hello, you know, I am Joe Smith, or he says, what's happening? The Holy Spirit is already telling me how they're going to stab me in the back. And yet he wants me to love them anyway. And I miss their name because I'm listening to the Holy Ghost. I believe there's truth to that. But he's already showing them, all right, you know, like 3 years down the road, this guy's going to do this to you. But I sent him here hoping you can rescue him, and on and on and on. Dave, to me, is such an example of walking in love, not holding bitterness. Now, there was times when he had to get firm. And no, you can't, if you're going to teach that, you can't preach here, you know. That's not the same. That's not unforgiveness. That's... Paul said, you hold fast. He said, Timothy, don't you let them preach any other doctrine. Remember that? My son Timothy, do not let them teach any other doctrine but what I taught you. Now, sometimes you have to do that, and they leave, and they're mad, and they may say all kinds of ugly things, but your job is to stay in forgiveness towards them. See? Hallelujah. So I know on this, if in this process of purging, not only those that are here, but if the Holy Ghost dialed your number and you're watching this, just be aware that in this purging time, there may well be some doors that he's going to open, and you might find, okay, there's still some unforgiveness there. I haven't really let that go. Pray for them. Trust me, it works. Pray for them. Just ask God to bless them. Do it out loud with your mouth. You'll be amazed what he'll do if you'll just start with simple obedience and do what he said. You watch what happens. You watch what happens. He'll make it real in you. Hallelujah. Okay, let's talk about worship. That's my other short leg. It's amazing to me. I'm going to just say it again. And many of you may be very good at worship. That might be your strong limb. See, I've met people that have really strong worship limbs that are flaky as a $3 bill. I didn't get, only Billy gave me an amen on that. Only Billy. But I mean, I'm not against them. I mean, that's, you know, but I've met them. They don't know the word. They'll tell you something that's so off the wall. You think, what, what planet are you from? You know, it's not, all of us need all. How did Dave say it? Fasting cannot give you what praying in tongues will give you. Praying in tongues cannot give you what meditation of the word will give you, and same with all four disciplines. Now, learned a few things so far on worship. Still at this stage, it's getting better. I'm getting more, can I say, kisses, touches in my emotions. I'm getting more. But if I'm going to do a 2 hour, 3 hour focus on worship instead of praying in tongues or the word, and I try and do the bulk of it without music. Music is good. There's nothing wrong with music. Okay. But like Dave says, if they put you in prison for the gospel, it's not likely you're going to have your MP3 player with you. you know, you better learn how to do this without anything. So I do the bulk of it without any help. God, still, most of that time, Dave, when you can't improve, you just say what Dave, it's just dry as cracker juice. The other day, I was actually eating some saltine crackers, and she said, ah, cracker juice. Well, see, again, I'm an engineer. I'm reporting back from the experiments. See, you would think if you sit through a 3 hour spell of worship, I'll use Dave's nasalated flesh creature. I love you. No, really. I love you, God. I love you, I love you, I love you. I worship you. And nothing. Maybe 3 hours. Maybe you sing a little bit. 3 hours. And you want to hear, you want to hear Gabriel's trumpet. You want to feel the brush of an angel wing across your cheek. How did Dave say? You want the ceiling to open and liquid sunshine pour through, you know. But it's dry as cracker juice. So see, as an engineer experimenting, you would think after a 3 hour spell of that and nothing but cracker juice, you would think you'd go, we're not doing that again. But I am finding the most amazing thing. It becomes addictive. Even if there's no kisses, even if there's no emotions, something in me goes, we need to do that again. So there's a change. Something's going on deeper than my emotions, deeper than my reasoning, because I keep being drawn back to it. It wasn't that way in the very beginning, but it is now. Those early lessons when Dave was teaching us about the spiritual mind, and I don't know which series that would be in, but you remember he would say, you have a spiritual mind, you have a natural mind. And he would talk about, how do you speak in tongues? He says, the Holy Spirit is the one creating that. He's the one creating every syllable. You didn't create it, he did. Yet somehow that syllable is going from the mind of the Holy Spirit to your spiritual mind. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to pass it on to your tongue to speak it. So he would focus on that place in us. There is a place in you where your spirit monitors the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit creates the syllables, you're able to pick that up. Otherwise, you could not speak with other tongues. And then that led him over into distinguishing God's voice and having us practice trying to get familiar with that place. Now, in my prayer time, I'll do better as this goes along. Let me just say it like this. If you're able to speak with other tongues, you're able to hear God. Otherwise, you could not speak with tongues. So say it with me. I speak with tongues. I can hear God. I speak with tongues. I can hear God. If I couldn't hear God, I couldn't speak with tongues. He creates every syllable. I speak every syllable. I can hear God. We're going to have to get that settled, and this may be even something in during the conference, because so many people are still of the opinion they can't hear God. And that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. So I would recommend to you, if you're in this season also, he's having me go back doing it again also, go back to Dave's two-part message, distinguishing God's voice. Practice that again. To locate that place in you where you discern, hear, get, receive those syllables. Because Dave would also say this, that same place in you is the voice of your conscience. And that same place in you is where he communicates by dreams and by visions. See, the reason people think they can't hear God, they're trying to hear him in their mind. The natural mind, the caterpillar mind. They're trying to hear him in the caterpillar mind. That's not. It's the mind of your spirit. That's where you hear him. But if you can speak with tongues, you obviously are able to translate what he says through your spiritual mind, through your mind to your tongue, or you couldn't do it. Well, if he speaks in English, you can too. Or if he gives you a vision, you can too. All right. Previews of coming attractions that he'll make simpler as I go along. Thank you so much.